know about you, but if I go out and actually employ a PR team to come out and help me with crisis management when I do something really stupid, I think I'm going to listen to them if I have paid them a lot of money to help me out. Apparently, the Astros, Jim Crane, the owner, they went out and hired a PR team to help with their current crisis, with some crisis management with this whole cheating scandal scheme. And it's gotten to be even a bigger mess. Every day it becomes a bigger mess. He comes out himself and said, the owner says that he doesn't think that the actual cheating enabled his team to improve their game, their wins, their possibility of furthering themselves in the postseason. Then you have the shortstop come out today, and he's making excuses why Jose Altuve should have won the MVP award and didn't want to take his shirt off. Well, you can see when he's coming around third after a home run, he's telling the guys not to take his shirt off and whatnot because he had some potentially had a device underneath his shirt that was part of the cheating scandal and whatnot. I mean, he's just saying all kinds of stupid things. And, you know, Altuve and Alex Bregman released a statement yesterday or 2 days ago, and they have not taken any questions since. They just basically have hidden behind a statement, which was kind of a vague statement, and just, this thing's not going away anytime soon. It's just not. It's one of the biggest scandals in baseball history. It is one of the biggest scandals, cheating scandals in baseball history, and it's not going away anytime soon. And I hope they get their comeuppance. I really do. Because one, it was brutal how they went about it, the whole cheating thing. Did they really need to cheat? The team is so loaded and so talented. Do they really need to steal signs to become world champions? Second of all, how stupid are you to do this so blatantly out in the open that you don't think, are you that egotistical enough to think you're not going to get pinched at some point? The fact that it stayed under wraps for a couple of years is mind-boggling. How this scandal wasn't, you know, unveiled well before it has been. It's just incredible. It's incredible. Steve Callis is going to be coming on with us in a little bit to discuss it some more, and we'll talk some Sixers basketball. And right now we're talking to Bill in Schwenksville. He's on 97.5, the Fanatic. What's up, Bill?
Hey, nothing much, Joe. First off, I agree with your counterpart. With the whole the points with the dunk. I'm sick of the, Derrick Jones was at least almost two steps past the foul line. They automatically gave him 50 points. Wasn't even close.
Yeah.
It's like anytime somebody does that now, it's like, 50, it's old hat now. And he wasn't even, it's like Dwight Howard when, Superman with his cape, he didn't even touch the rim. He actually dropped the ball in.
Right.
Sound like, he dunked. But, my Sixers point, I agree, half agree, disagree. I think, in a sense, what I disagree with, they have the talent, but I understand what you're saying. I think the talent's there. It's just that they're not playing to their potential, and then Brown isn't using that talent correctly, and I think that's the huge thing. They should clearly in the East, like you said, like Anikatupa, he has Embiid. If Embiid played like that and Simmons played like that, it would be lights out in the East.
Wouldn't you think so?
Yes, I do. I think if they and like you said, just not playing the potential, and I agree. I think, they just need a new voice in here with him not listening, like Simmons. And that's what I mean where I say you're half right. I don't want to say, because to me, we always say they have that potential, but maybe they don't. They're never going to be those guys. So we can't say that they're superstars or they're great players. So, maybe we're putting too much onus on that, with that. Because like you said, to me, Embiid, it's just so comical that, you invest all this money on these kind of players and he comes out of shape, and like you said, Brown, challenging Simmons and him. Simmons knows what would put him over the top.
Right.
And just shooting that little 10-footer, and he refuses to do it. And I don't know, again, if any coach, but obviously Brown's not the coach to do that. And that's what's so, you know, like you said, it's frustrating. I think they had the talent. Like Horford, I think, you know, one of their biggest issues, Joe, is, you know, I feel like they're offensively, they feel like Tobias. I've heard callers call up like Tobias and Horford. We got to get these guys involved because they're paying them so much money. But in essence, it should just be Joel and Ben's show. And Ben shouldn't feel horrible that, you know, Tobias isn't getting. I don't care if Tobias scores 14, as long as Joel is dominating. I don't care about him getting paid. If he's dominating and Simmons is shooting little jump shots and opening up the offense, and we're dominating, I could care less that Tobias is getting paid big a dollar money and getting 14 points. Same with Horford. He's supposed to come off the bench, and he's supposed to back up and beat and get those quality 25, 26 minutes, and he's supposed to give the second unit that scoring. I could care less that we're paying him that much money. I just want to see them reach the potential. And with Brown, that's what's frustrating. I agree with you. They're not listening to him. You know, when you're calling him out and he's not listening to you and there's no respect there, and Joel, you know, doing his kind of things, and they were anointed superstars before superstars. And as you mentioned, the whole thing with Jimmy Butler, they, you know, Brown and maybe he convinced Elton Brand to convince him, hey, we can't have this guy telling Embiid he's fat, Simmons has got to shoot, and blah, blah, blah. You know, he cried last year and beat on the floor last year. Things are going to change. We got to put our money on these superstars. They're not superstars, and they're not ready for, obviously, they're immature, as you mentioned numerous times, to take that next step. And they needed it. That was the biggest thing, letting go of Jimmy Butler. Absolutely. We could have owned the East. And, you know, the thing, Joe, is the window, and you know this, in sports, windows close pretty quickly.
Yes, they do.
Next year, you know, Milwaukee's still going to be just as good. And they lost. They lost, what's-his-face, you know, who was an all-star last year, a potential all-star. And they got even better because their player stepped up. And then the Nets, Brooklyn's going to be that much better next year with Durant and, you know,
KD's
some other guys
back,
that are going to join. Yeah, so we're going to be that step behind them now, too. And the Celtics just have better coaching. And Tatum and all these guys have stepped up their game. And we're missing our opportunity by allowing Brett Brown. We should have just, it's a perfect time to let him go now. And just, I'm not saying hire like a coach for next year, but an intern coach to see if these guys at least will listen to an adult in the room. And then next year, we look for somebody that, you know, that definitely is going to listen. You know, but I just, you know, like you said, I'm just looking at him as dead man walking. And I just think it's a wasteful year. You know, I got to watch another 30 games of something I already know. They're going out at least in the second round.
I agree.
They know that. It's frustrating. And I just want a new voice to see. Let's see if somebody can get Simmons to shoot. Let's see if somebody can sell Embiid. You know what? I need you to hustle two times down the court, get deep, get two dunks every time you're down. And it's an easy 10 points to get in freaking shape and start having some heart. And I think that's the thing, Joe.
Billy, great call, man. I appreciate it, man. You have a great night. Great stuff on the 76ers. It was very, it was an exhaustive analysis, a quick exhaustive analysis of what's going on. I agree with what Billy said, mostly immaturity, and they need a guy who kind of needs to hold the superstars accountable. And other teams are going to get better, and the Sixers are missing their window. If they don't do something now, I think they needed a change at the top. We shall see. As promised on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, Steve Callis from Callis Remarks with yours truly, and Stephen, our podcast, our weekly podcast show. Stephen, what's up, man?
All good. Great to be with you as always, Joe.
You too, pal. I'm trying to think, where should we start? Let's start with the Sixers because, yeah, I mean, there's so many things to talk about. Let's talk with the real meat first because we just will segue from Bill's call. I talked about.
I just want to know before I start, how do you really feel about the Sixers?
Not real good, Steve. I got to be honest. Not real good. You've heard it. I said it. I think they're immature. I don't think they have a guy who kind of the chain of command is really holds them in check in terms of Brett Brown. I think one guy, he's the big if. Joel Embiid is the big if. If he decides to show up, if he wants to play, if he wants to cut down on his eating, he can do a lot of those things. He can be this if he does this, and we don't know if he's going to do this because we don't know if he wants to do this. So, and yeah, the other guy won't expand his game. He's good at what he does, doesn't expand his game. They don't have leadership. They don't have the alpha dog in them. They have 27 games left. They're in fifth place in the East. Can this team what does this team need to do, actually, I should say, to make them a viable contender this year?
Is Jimmy Butler walking through that door?
Nope.
I think what they need to do, obviously, it's easy to say and hard to do, is to win on the road. I mean, they're barely competitive on the road. How do you do that? Who's the alpha dog? You talked about it before. Who's the leader? I mean, it's just a gaping hole, and I can't believe it. I don't know if Jimmy Butler ever showed an interest in coming back. Maybe he just wanted out because he thought he couldn't win with these guys.
Right.
But they don't have that guy down the stretch. J.J. Redick was a gigantic loss, no matter what anybody thinks or says, because you need standalone three-point shooters. And he was excellent for Philly for a few years. So I agree with you on Tobias Harris. He's a good to, you know, better than good player, but he's nowhere near a max player. You thought maybe he could pick up the three-point slack or maybe even the leadership slack, but he doesn't seem to be that kind of guy. And it's almost like Simmons and Embiid are lost in their own, you know, their own worlds. I mean, Simmons is going to put up numbers forever. He's a transcendental player, but, and we talked about it when he came into the league, I mean, he just has to, even if he starts taking 10 or 12 footers, forget three-pointers, even if he can take 15 footers, but I don't know. Supposedly he was going to work on it a lot this past summer. Remember, and we were saying, well, why didn't he work on it the summer before?
Right.
But apparently he didn't work on it any summer. Well, if he did, he's not confident enough. And, you know, a guy with his skill set should be pretty confident about shooting from, and I'll just pick a short number again, 10 feet, 12 feet, 14 feet. Even that would open it up for him. Never mind three-point shots. And Embiid, you're right. He's such a talented guy. You got to wonder if he just thinks, I'm so talented this way that I really don't have to kill myself to get to the next level. But he really does have to get in shape. He has to be more intense. He's a tremendous player. But, you know, with all this Kobe and the Mamba mentality that was talked about for the last, you know, 2 weeks or whatever it's been, one would think he would, like, take a page out of one of their books, fill in the blank. It's not just Mamba mentality. It's Michael Jordan mentality.
Yeah.
Think of all the great, you know, players and leaders over the years. It's Bill Russell mentality, if you will. I don't know why that's so hard to develop, because he's, and maybe the answer is he's so good, I can just show up and be out of shape and be this good. Nobody can guard me. But again, they lack a leader. And it doesn't look like he's on the roster now, frankly.
Right.
And I think they lack, you know, three-point shooters. And I think the loss of J.J. Redick is bigger than people think it was.
Unfortunately. Steve Callison, the Comcast Business Hotline. All right, Steve, let's go to the United Center where the game's being played tonight, the All-Star game last night, the slam dunk contest. We don't usually spend a lot of time on exhibitions here, but it was marred by some controversy. Not the first time Aaron Gordon's been involved in it. You saw it. What was the mess that happened last night?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't pay much attention to it, but, you know, they should have just... Even though we're going to be talking about cheating a lot in baseball, I think they should have just given it, you know, given two winners. Give them both wins. How could you? They were trying, apparently it's true, Ramona Shelburne did tweet out that they were trying to kind of rig the score to make them tied again. I don't know if the theory was going to be at that point they would have said they were co-winners. But what's wrong with co-winners? These guys were doing, you know, I think it was you, maybe it was Tyler, who said, how much more different stuff can they do nowadays? And I agree with that. So you got him climbing over a 7'5" guy or whatever. By the way, Gordon said later he asked Shaq to do it, but Shaq refused.
Yeah, he said, nope, I'm good.
And maybe he would have got a 49 if he jumped over Shaq. He's not bigger than Paul, but he's a bigger star than Paul.
Yeah.
Who knows? But it sounded like there were only supposed to be two nines, and somehow three came out. But with any of that, the guy got like 550s in a row, Aaron Gordon. He got jobbed against Zach LaVine a few years ago. So why not just make two winners and let him walk off the court winners? Because I'm not a big slam dunk, watch it, care about it thing, but if there were ever two guys who both deserve to win, you know, after a tough game, a hockey game or a basketball game, oh, it's too bad somebody had to lose that game.
Yeah.
It's too bad somebody had to lose this competition. And given the fact that it's an exhibition, Joe, you easily could have said, yeah, you both win.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think everybody would have been happy, including the two guys.
Sure. Yeah, it was a mess. It was a mess. I don't know why it has to happen. Certainly because it's an exhibition that no one really cares about, and then it becomes that. But an exhibition that people do care about, Major League Baseball, and the scandal that has been the talk of the airwaves the last few weeks, the Houston Astros, and it seems to keep getting worse and worse for them every time someone opens their mouth. The owner comes out the other day and says he doesn't think the cheating enabled them to do better.
Not at all.
Not at all. And then you have the Altuve and Bregman kind of hiding under a written statement, not answering questions. And you have the shortstop coming out and giving ridiculous alibis for his teammates. You know, Cody Bellinger of the Dodgers came out and said, you know, well, they stole our ring, and Aaron Judge should have been the MVP and not Altuve. And then Correa is talking about the reason that he kept the shirt on did Altuve after that home run wasn't because of any device underneath his shirt. It was because of a bad tattoo. And he's given up all these other ridiculous excuses. It sounded silly. He's kind of fighting an uphill battle, knowing that everyone knows what happened and what they did. He's trying to kind of make alibis, give excuses for it. I mean, how ridiculous does this guy sound?
Well, beyond ridiculous, it's laugh out loud funny. Correa telling Cody Bellinger to shut up. Correa should look in the mirror and shut up. He should just walk away. Correa and Crane, the owner, they're dumb and dumber. I mean, these other guys, whatever you think of them, what can they really say? All they can say is, we're really, 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 really sorry, and we really mean it. We made a mistake, which, again, is a joke. If you're driving and you're supposed to make a left turn and you make a right turn, that's a mistake. This was an ongoing fraud for a whole season.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if anybody has asked Altuve if he knew the pitch was coming from Aroldis Chapman. But I will take the opposite side on you on vacating the World Series. I think they absolutely should vacate the World Series, because right now the template is set for the future. If all the players on the team are willing to cheat, they know they're going to get immunity. They know it. It's in, you know, it's happened now. So what is the real deterrent to stop them from trying again? This embarrassment that they're going through now? I think the real deterrent, or part of the real deterrent, would be, well, they vacated the World Series anyway, so 10, 20, 50, 100 years from now, who won the World Series in 2017? I think it should be blank. And if it comes out that the Red Sox did exactly what the Astros did, and I guess Alex Cora is kind of the middleman in all of that,
both of them, yeah.
I think they should vacate. I know what you were saying, but when you talk about UMass and Marcus Camby and all of those things, those weren't on the court cheating things. Those were he signed with an agent, or he took some money, or whatever all the reasons for that kind of stuff was. It never was, we somehow cheated in a game, we bribed a ref, we shaved points, or whatever it was, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the essence of the game to me. This is the integrity of the game. And now that we know the players' union, the strongest union in the history of the world, can so scare Manfred, who, you know, Cody Bellinger said a lot of right things, like the punishment was weak, Manfred was weak. I think most of the stuff he said was right. And so the notion that a player on the Astros would say anything back to any other player is like, what, are you kidding me? Shut up, go away, keep your mouth shut, and go hit 320 this year or whatever you're going to do. Because when you start to look at the stats, I have to go look this up. I thought somebody said that year on the road, Altuve hit like 200 or something. I have to go check on that. I thought I heard that today. But there's going to be all kinds of stats that are going to pop up that's going to show the difference. And if you're dumb enough, like the owner, to really say it had no impact, the cheating, our position is the cheating had no impact, then not only are you a fool, you know nothing about baseball. Because if you know what pitch is coming, the only hero in the whole thing is who? Tony Kemp. Who apparently
was
up and down, came up in September, and apparently they affirmatively asked him, we're getting the signs, do you want to know?
He said no.
And Tony Kemp said no. So why was it so hard for all these other fools to not say no? I understand the herd mentality, the mob mentality, but my goodness, this guy, a AAA player who got into the league, to me, he's a national hero. Because he's the only one we know of so far who said no. I think it's a national disgrace, and it's not going away. Dusty Baker wants Major League Baseball to tell all the players to stop criticizing the Astros. So I'm just waiting for one player, You like Dusty Baker, but he's 70. He's looking forward, not behind. He has to be disgusted with what happened.
Of
he
course.
Wasn't there, obviously. But my goodness, all you have to do is fine one player $1,000 for criticizing the Astros, and everybody will go ballistic because it'll be $1,000 more than any other Astros player is going to be fined, never mind suspended for 6 months. Or they should add rolling suspensions on these guys. Suspend 4 or 5 at a time for 30 games.
Incredible. Just incredible stuff. See, before I let you go, man, I just want to sprinkle in a little hockey because there's 23 games left for the Flyers. They hung with the Lightning yesterday, although off to another slow start, but they hung in there after they gave up a couple early goals. They're in a playoff position now if the season ended today and top of the wild card spot. What does this team have to do to kind of hang around where they are and to make a run to the playoffs?
Well, I think they have to stay the course. You know, the game against Tampa was much more about Tampa, frankly. It's their second 10-game winning streak of the year. And only two teams in the history of hockey I saw, both Bruins teams, one from the 70s, one from like the 20s. I mean, I think the Bruins team in the 70s was, you know, or in the gang, Esposito and those guys. So I think I thought they battled. I mean, obviously they got in the hole and they battled. And the interesting stat that came out of this game, tell me if you knew this, I didn't even know they keep these stats, Joe. So Claude Giroux got an assist on the power play goal.
Yeah.
It was his 234th career assist as a Flyer on the power play goal. And he tied Bobby Clark for the all-time Philadelphia Flyers record for assists on power plays. Now, I don't know if that's an important record, but it's pretty impressive. And frankly, I didn't even know they kept that stat.
Yeah, oh yeah. I'll keep all kinds of stats, all kinds of stats. And he's like, he's Bobby Clark Jr., although he doesn't get the credit around here because he's never won a ring. Well, it is impressive what the Lightning have done, but until John Cooper can make it past the first round, I'm gonna reserve judgment on the Lightning. So, but they are still impressive this year. Again, second, like you said, second 10-game winning streak of the year. Did it to the Flyers yesterday. Good stuff. Good stuff, Steven. I'll catch you down the road this week. Appreciate you coming on, taking your time, and I'll talk to you before the podcast. And of course, we're doing our podcast next Friday, and we'll rock and roll.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
You too, Steve. Thanks, buddy. Steve Callis on the Comcast Business Hotline. Got to take another break. I'm Joe Stasiak here at 8 o'clock tonight. NBA All-Star Game at that point from the United Center in Chicago. Joel Embiid versus Ben Simmons tonight, starting at 8 o'clock. I'm Joe Stasiak. We're coming right back.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the show. Joe Stasiak in the house. Talking to my producer, my esteemed producer, Tyler Zuli, in break. He talked about Bud Selig never being able to get past the steroid controversy. He doesn't think Rob Manfred will ever be able to get past this. Tyler, can you expound?
Yeah, you know, and it's too young in his tenure, too. He's a very still fresh commissioner. He's only been the commissioner, what, for 5 years now? I think going on 5 seasons. If he wants sustainability, there had to be more of a punishment on this. And the fact that there wasn't, it just blows my mind.
Do you think, and this, what blows my mind is this, and I asked Robbie this the other day, Rob Motti on the air yesterday, because it's amazing to me that the principals didn't get punished. The guys who actually cheated did the cheating. None of them got punished. Is it because the players union is the strongest on the planet in Major League Baseball, or is it because you just, if you punish everybody, you're basically suspending everybody?
So that was my thought, was if you were to hand down a suspension to every player that participated in this willingly, especially willingly, maybe not unwillingly, but or unknowingly, I should say, but the guys that willingly did it, you would have the Astros fielding a Triple-A team. And these kind of suspensions aren't a week. They're not 10 games. They're half-season suspensions. In some cases, like Altuve, there probably would be full-season suspensions. If you want to see the Astros Triple-A team come play for a full season and have them win 45 games, then suspend them. The league doesn't want that.
It doesn't, but
the league knows how good the Astros still are.
They're tremendous, and they probably didn't even need to cheat. I get all that, but you have to inflict some kind of, you have to have some consequences, and to just to say, well, you can't suspend everyone. I mean, is that, to me, that's a cop out. That's a cop out. I get what you're saying. You're gonna have a minor league team on the field, but these are the guys who cheated. Listen, if in 1919 that whole Black Sox team, instead of 8 of them, there were 23 of them, they would have all been kicked out of baseball and there would have been a new team. Yes.
Yes. There's also a difference between that and this team.
Go ahead.
I'll look it up. I don't know the answer. Percentage-wise, how much more do you think the league's worth today?
Oh God!
Than it was back then.
Oh.
How much more do you think the Astros are worth than the whole league was back then?
Oh God!
It's all about money. It's always been about money, and the losing the Astros for a season is going to do way more worse for the league than losing those 8 players did, and even losing all 25 guys did, it would have in 1919.
Okay, how about this? Suspend them all for 2 weeks. Would that? Oh, he's on the phone. All right, for 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Listen, I think that's fair. My question is to you though: if you suspend them for 2 weeks, how much are we lessening punishment on everything else? Because we've never seen cheating at this precedent before, this level. So if you're going to suspend these guys for 2 weeks, PEDs are more, you know, right? It's using steroids are more of a suspension than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Gambling on the game is more. So you're setting a precedent that 2 weeks is the suspension for cheating in baseball. So you're going to say that if you set this for 2 weeks, I don't know about you, but if I'm a Major League Baseball player, I will happily take a 2-week suspension to win the World Series.
What's worse of a crime? Steroids, stealing signs, dumping games? Your thoughts?
To the level that they did it, this Astros team and the potential of the Red Sox, this is worse.
I totally agree.
To me, I don't know how you feel about it, and it's a little off the topic, but the steroid era guys, those who are credible to be Hall of Famers should all be Hall of Famers.
Agreed.
Bonds, Clemens, Sosa, McGuire, they're all in. And the reason being is because the league allowed it to happen and didn't shun it until after the fact. And now that it's an issue, if you did it now, you don't deserve to be in because it's such a league-wide spread issue. It wasn't in the 90s.
Now, you're a baseball purist. You played in summer leagues. Mm-hmm. You're a baseball guy. We talked about this in break. Did the steroid thing bother you?
It's kind of weird. It did as when I was younger. And as I got a little bit older, it bothered me less. And I think, again, it goes back to the league knew it was happening. The league allowed it to happen.
But wait, yeah, it was against the. I know it's against the. It's a crime, technically, without being prescribed to do steroids. But it was against the league rule. Yes.
Yes.
Right. So it's against league rules that they violated league rules.
Correct.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure we're on the same page with that. So okay, so it's a violation, and how harsh of a violation is it?
The using the steroids?
Yeah.
So the one that I'm trying to compare it to is, you know, because I don't know how you feel. I've always been a big believer the hardest single action in all of sports is to hit a baseball.
Of course.
So using steroids while against the league rules versus knowing what pitch is coming also while against league rules, I think the steroids are easier to maybe push off Because to me, being stronger doesn't help you hit the baseball nearly as much as knowing a 2-1 slider is coming.
But you know what's not well known is that steroids helps your eyes. It does. It helps your eyes as well.
I'm sure it probably does. I don't doubt that. I'm sure it helps your eyes. But here's the thing. If I tell you you're getting a 2-1 slider, it's probably going to be in, you know, you don't have to know the exact location, but you've got an idea, a third of the plate. You're going to know where to cover. If you're taking steroids, you're stronger. Your eyes may be better.
Where it's going.
You don't know what pitch you're getting.
Right.
You don't know where it's going. You don't know what...
It's just going to go further when you hit it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So while neither are condonable, I don't condone either action, this to me seems worse.
I agree. Where does it fall in the, I guess, on the pantheon of all-time scandals in terms of cheating? You know, the Black Sox, they dumped the game, but it was only for financial... they dumped the series, but only for financial gain. They weren't trying to win anything. They were actually trying to lose something. Well, what other scandals do you know of that are worse than this in terms of winning games?
That Black Sox one sits poorly with me because I think that... I know that the league was not in as nearly as good of a place as it is now.
God.
So financially, these guys had other jobs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And not only that, but I mean, they were working, you know, they were moonlighting. They were working on their days off. They worked in the off season. They weren't getting paid nearly as lucratively as these guys do now. That to me is one of the worst ones. This is probably 2 or 3 in terms of like the worst scandals in league history, because they have such technology to use nowadays that it became an immediate aid to them playing.
How much do you think it helped?
Oh, I think it helped tremendously. Mm-hmm. Listen, they were a really, really talented baseball
team. Really good team.
That's a 95 win
team. That's a very good team.
It's a 95 win team without cheating.
Uh-huh.
But the home road splits are so staggering, where they were something like 61-20 at home this season, or that season that it happened, I should say. That to me is such an advantage.
Maybe the Sixers are stealing signs.
I don't know.
Can't play a lick on the road.
I don't know how much it translates to the NBA, but it's just like I struggle to put this into perspective with those other ones, because of the immediate gratification of this specific cheating scandal.
Okay.
They have the pitch. It gets relayed. The guy knows what's coming like that before it even happens, before the guy even goes into his windup. That, to me, is the worst that I've seen.
How are they with other teams knowing that, even if it's not done electronically, guys are always trying to steal signals. So you're constantly changing things up.
Yeah.
So how do you know you're getting the right signals? You're stealing the right signals.
You don't.
Okay.
You don't. And Kurt Suzuki said that they changed up their signs every batter at times. The thing that bugs me is, you know, again, it goes back to, if I'm on second base, I am doing everything I can to take your sign. I may get it right, I may get it wrong. But I'm using my eyes on the field. I'm a player on the field using my eyes from 100 and some odd feet away, trying to figure out that does one truly mean one, and does one meaning one mean fastball? It, you know, it's like this 7D chess game.
Mm-hmm.
When they have the camera, and not only that, but I'm also relying on my eyes, which aren't great to begin with. So they have the camera that is sending, you know, the buzzer, which is sending the trash can. This is all an immediate response that I would assume that if you put it into some kind of crazy nerd algorithm, would come out a higher percentage than me looking into the catcher. You're the hitter, and I tap my right thigh if it's fastball, and I tap my left thigh if it's breaking ball. So the immediate gratification, it's what I continue to come back to.
comes down to banging a trash can. How primitive yet effective. Unbelievable. This story I just can't get enough of this story. All right, he's Tyler Zuli behind the glass. Great stuff, Ty. I'm Joe Stasiak here at 8 o'clock. All-Star game at that time from the United Center in Chicago. Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons taking center stage tonight. We'll talk some more Sixers and some more scandals. On the other side, I'm Joe Stasiak. Coming right back.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. This weekend's programming is being delivered by Papa John's. New Papadias, hand-folded in four flavors, just $6 each. Better ingredients, better pizza, better than a sandwich. Papa John's. All right. Tyler Zuli in the house till 8 o'clock tonight. You're producing the All-Star game tonight, Ty, so you're going to be around for a while?
Yeah, I'll be here for a little bit more.
Okay. What's been the vibe this week? You know, I'm only here on during weekends. Anything that occurred this week in terms of the Sixers or the cheating scandal? Did anything take center stage this week?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that. Nothing was like the preeminent, I should say, like leader in the clubhouse. Nothing was the standout. It's like, this is it. This is what we're talking. We hit on so many things this week. Astros, Phillies, Sixers, did a little Flyers action because they've been playing pretty well except for, you know, last night. Second half, also, everything was on the table.
Little pot party.
Yeah, because, of course.
Because
as they say on SNL Jeopardy.
Because it's I'm still. What day is it? It's the 16th of Feb. So that means February was. So 2 weeks ago. What's today? Sunday. 2 weeks ago today was the Super Bowl. So we've been 2 weeks since football ended. I guess we're just trying to hang in there. I mean, it's the start. You know, once you get through February, then you get into March Madness a little bit. And then, of course, baseball season opens. And then you have the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs get you into summertime a little bit. But right now it's a little sketchy.
Yeah, this is kind of the lull period. You know, I know a lot of people don't like the summer, you know, especially people that aren't big baseball people.
Right.
This, to me, like this 3 week stretch is a little rough.
It's rough.
Because the NBA is on the All-Star break. College basketball, I mean, there's some good game, obviously some good conference games, but I mean, you're getting to the point now where you know who's going to be the locks. So you're really waiting for conference tournament time when you can see who's going to, you know, break a bubble, who's going to be on the bubble that moves up. And then, like you said, you get into March and that's when it really kind of kicks back up.
Nova, big winners over Temple today. You watched that at all? They won 71-51.
I got to tell you, I know that this is like blasphemy in the city. I don't care if Nova ever wins a game. I know you're a Nova guy. It's not like I don't.
What's up with that? Shots fired.
It's not that I don't dislike Nova. It's not that I openly root against
Nova.
And
that's not blasphemy. You're probably in the majority there.
You think so?
Yeah.
Really?
Because I think it's either you went to Villanova or you know someone went to Villanova or your kid went there. Other than that, I think it's anti-Villanova.
I think that growing up, there was a lot of like, oh, you got to be a Nova fan. You know, you got to be. They're like, they're the best team locally. You know, the best team in the city. And to me, that was just not enough of an excuse to pick one. You know, In the NFL, we have the Eagles.
Yeah.
You're an Eagles fan.
Yep.
You grow up, you're an Eagles fan. You're Philly, that's it.
Yeah.
Except for the crazy people.
That's correct.
In Philly, there's so many college basketball teams to choose from. Is it Nova because they are generally the best team?
Yes.
See, I don't fly with that.
Well, I'm not saying you're supposed to root for Villanova. That's why I think because of the reputation, we do this every time they make a run, whether it was the 16 title or the 18 title. Why is there such a groundswell for hatred for Villanova? And it's because of their attitude, their arrogance, the money, blah, 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 the attitude of the kids. At least that's the answers you get back. You hear Pat Egan will pontificate all day long about anti-Villanova people. I don't think there's a big backing for Villanova in this town unless you have some connection to it, to be honest with you.
That's fair. I wonder, and Pat especially, because he's a Temple guy, there is a rivalry there.
Sure.
Like, for myself, like I said, it's not that I don't want Nova to win. Like, when they were in the national title against North Carolina, I was rooting for them. I wanted them to win. But I'm also not going to show up to the parade.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be a fake Nova fan just for the sake of a team in the city that I happen to live in won a championship. If Temple won a football championship, I wouldn't be there because I'm not a Temple guy. I'm a Penn State guy.
Sure, sure.
I would go back to State College for a parade down College Ave.
Of course.
Before I went to a parade,
that makes sense.
Locally.
I went to the parade. You know how much Egan detests Villanova?
A lot.
As much as he likes Temple, is as much as he detests Villanova. I ran into him the day after the Carolina game. He was up all night because he had to work the game or do something with it, and he had to get up at 3 in the morning, and it was like the greatest game ever, and Nova won. He had to be on campus at like 4:30 in the morning, and I stroll up. I get up at like 10 o'clock. I go up to get some gear on campus. The line's like 6 miles long. I run into him. He's miserable. Just miserable. He was miserable the whole day. He's like, can't believe I'm working here. I can't believe that they won that game. Now I got to do this. And blah, 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 blah. He's bitching the whole time. We hung it out together. We went to the thing at the on the football field where the team came back and everything. And he had to stay through the whole thing. He was not pleased. I offered him gear. He finally got in line. I'm like, dude, you want a sweatshirt, T-shirt, hat? What can I do for it? Nothing.
To his credit.
I want to get out of here.
I got to give him credit. He is steadfast in his beliefs and his fandom.
Oh, hates him.
And, for the up or down the Temple is, he is a Temple fan through and through.
He's big time Temple. He is. They got... And I'm not gloating. I'm just saying Nova handled them well today. They shot 17 of 36 from three. Colin Gillespie at 29 points, 7 of 11. They've had great point guard play since Archie Diacono and then Jalen Brunson. Now they have Colin Gillespie. I don't think it's a championship team, but I watched them today from start to finish, and they can be impressive. They can be impressive considering all the guys they keep losing, and Jay Wright just keeps it's a factory now.
It's true when they say, especially from like 2010 till I guess 2019, that might be the most productive college basketball program in the country.
Yeah,
you figure two national championships, three Final Four appearances.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
It's pretty good. It really is. He's done a phenomenal job.
He's a great coach.
And that's why.
And it's even more, it's almost comical to see, especially the Nova fans, how close he was to being ousted.
Remember that?
Another second round exit.
Remember that?
Lost to...
Oh, that was his reputation.
Everybody.
That was his reputation. Always getting bounced early. Having great regular seasons.
LSU.
27, 28 plus win seasons. Always bounced early. Always bounced early.
It's funny, that torch is seemingly passed from Jay Wright to Mark Few now, from Gonzaga.
Yeah.
He needs one in the worst way.
If they had shot just a little better against Carolina in 2000, the year after 2017, they win that game. They showed up like Butler did two times in a row and just couldn't shoot at all. Once against UConn, they shot like 19%. It's a shame because they choked and they should have had that game. But you're right. Gonzaga's always there. Just coming up a buck short. It took Nova a while to get past it. You thought going to the Final Four in 2009 with Scotty Reynolds, all right, now they're going to be a team that's going to kind of get over that stuff. But no, they went back to losing again, first round, second round. I went up to a game. They were a three seed in Binghamton, New York. They played Old Dominion, and a guy named Petey Sessoms played. He was like one of the stars in the country. They lost in triple overtime. They were a three seed versus a 14, another ousting first round, until finally, 2016 came around. They made that run, and then 2 years later, a run out of nowhere. Again, another big run out of nowhere. So, Yeah, pretty pleased that Jay Wright's still around. Because they always had that conversation when the Sixers start to tail off a little bit, and he's his stock is high. You know, Jay Wright, maybe next Sixers coach. I'm like, no. Don't go anywhere, coach. We need you here, man. But
I think he would be silly at this point to give it up. His job security is through the roof.
Through the roof. He can do whatever he wants to do. He can call his own ticket, write his own ticket. He's good stuff. All right, we got to take it on the break, man. 2 hours to go, two down. He's Tyler Zuli. I'm Joe Stasiak. Coming right back. Sixers on the break. All-star game tonight from the United Center in Chicago. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. We're also talking about scandals throughout history and talking a little Le Flyer. Chime in if you want. It's a period of time right now. We talked about it's a little bit of a lull. So everything is on the board. It is a potpourri day here at 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Joe Stasiak. Coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.